Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cody. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Like I said earlier, I can literally count on one hand the times that other artists have let us a world premiere bringing stuff on the show, and it's always special for me, you know?
It is to be able to debut their music as among the first,
And
be able to
and we weren't initially planning on having a show tonight, but Ryan reached out to me yesterday, and said the single was about to drop, so I invited him on, and here we are.
You know what? Sometimes the best shows come up at the last minute. In this case, this is going to be
true.
one of them. We get ready to chat
true.
It up with Mr. Mundy.
And with that being said, let's welcome my buddy Ryan Mundy to the show. Hey, Ryan, how are you, dude?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's an
absolutely,
honor, Ryan.
Like I was telling Craig, I can literally count on one hand the times that people have reached out to us about interviews. We're the ones reaching out to them, usually, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, well, you know, man, we've kind of been chatting back and forth since December, and, you know, as we said, it's been a long time coming, and I was like, you know, the single's coming out soon, and I really want to get in there and get interviewed with Mr. Murphy here soon. And, you know, that's why I said I reached out to you, and I'm glad it happened, man. It's you're an awesome dude, and you've been interviewing some awesome artists, a lot of people I know from Nashville, a lot of people I listen to their music too. And I was like, man, I gotta get on that list to be interviewed by him, man. Yeah, he's awesome. So. I'm very honored and happy that you let me come out and do this and here have me on the show here today, man.
Dude, I appreciate you. I mean, like you said earlier, we met back in December at Belcourt Taps. As a matter of fact, I think I was actually interviewing while you were playing. So I might have caught maybe the last half of one of your songs. I don't remember, but it was us and a bunch of other people did interviews for Nashville Entertainment Weekly, which was a really cool experience.
Yeah, man, they guys were awesome. They really made that a fun day. I mean, for everybody who was out there, and it was really cool to see all the different talent come in too. And I was actually able to grab the clip that they posted of actually the whole video of our three songs, and I was able to put that on YouTube. So if you ever want to watch it, it's on my YouTube channel.
I'll check it out, dude. So before we get into this brand new song of yours, I always like to ask my guests like their background of how they got into music in the first place.
Yeah, man. So my story is, I don't know, it's kind of different. It's kind of maybe one you've heard before, but it all kind of started out. My cousin, he's been in like a Nirvana grunge kind of band for the last 10 years or so. And I always had this dream to where when you're at a bonfire or you're on a beach or something like that, and somebody, you know, you're in a big group of people, somebody whips out a guitar and starts playing. Just acoustic, everybody's all huddled around the fire. I always thought that was something really cool. And I actually got this idea to do like these Free Fallin' sets where I would sing like the chorus of Free Fallin', and then I would just like pass it around the bonfire, and then everybody could say, you know, whatever they want. You don't have to be a singer. Just kind of make it fun. So with that idea in mind, I got a hold of him, and I was like, hey, man, you want to go with me and get an acoustic guitar? I'm going to try to learn. And he ended up having one down there and sold me his. And what's cool about it is he didn't teach me anything. I asked him how to play some chords and stuff. And he was like, you know, nobody taught me, so you're going to have to learn on your own. So I ended up buying a house a couple months later, and I went through a tough breakup. And the only thing I had was this new house, me and this guitar. So I kind of sat down and started learning every Florida Georgia Line, Jake Owen, Kenny Chesney cover song that I could think of. And then one of my buddies then one day kind of asked me if I was going to start writing my own music. And, you know, I started thinking, well, what would I even write about? You know, I don't know how to do that. And sat down one day and I started writing my own music back in 2016. And here I am today playing live with people. So, I mean, it's awesome, and it's a cool story. And it's been a long time coming. It took me a couple of years to, you know, really learn how to play the guitar well and be able to sing and make it sound good. But, yeah, it's been a great experience, man.
Awesome. I actually play a little acoustic guitar myself. I've been playing it maybe about 3 or 4 years, and it's fun, dude.
It is fun, man. You're right. I mean, it's one of those things where at first you're ready to break the guitar in half every time you touch it, but once you kind of
I've been there. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you gotta. There's been a lot of times where I picked it up and about 10 minutes later I put it back down.
Yep, been there. I wanted to ask, that kind of brought up a interesting question. If you weren't a singer, what would you be doing right now?
Man, that was a great question. You know, that's kind of funny because I really never had a dream like I do now with music. And that's what's cool about writing music and playing music and, you know, kind of trying to do it full time is it's really became something that I just dreamed of. I know this in my heart. This is what I want to do, and I enjoy it. And, you know, I get to have interviews with guys like you, and, you know, I get to meet all kinds of cool people. But actually, before I started playing music in front of people and, you know, kind of doing it part-time more so, I was going to college to get a business degree. Which I got an associate's of business. So I think if I probably was not doing music as a side hobby, I'd probably be some corporate guy somewhere trying to make $1 million a year or something. But, I mean, maybe that's not a bad thing and, you know, bad goal to have. But, yeah, I guess it wouldn't be an exciting life, you know.
Right.
So it's hard to say, but yeah, I think I probably wouldn't be having as much fun.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Another question I think I had for you is you've been in the music industry a couple of years, 2 or 3, something like that. What has been your biggest, whether it's in the writing room or playing a show, what's been your biggest pinch me moment? Like, is this actually happening right now?
Man, I'd say probably last month. I kind of got a call. Actually, got an email from a lady, and she's in charge of the Hollywood Casino here in Dayton, Ohio. And she said, you know, asked me if I wanted to come out and play at this casino. And of course, I said, oh yeah, I'd love to come out there. And she's like, hey, you know, Janet Kramer's going to be playing outside, but we need you to play inside. So I was like, hey, that's fine, you know. So we got out there, and, you know, I wasn't really sure what I was walking into. I've never been to a casino. I've never gambled, never done any of that stuff. So, I don't know what I'm expecting. You know, when we pull up Hollywood casinos, these places are huge, they're nice, and, you know, I'm like, well, this is really cool. So we're walking in through the place, you know, there's all the slot machines, everything. We're walking right down the middle. You know, we're like looking for some kind of a stage or something and can't find anything. And a guy flags us down, you know, sees our guitars, figures that we're playing. So he takes us to this little back room. He's like, yeah, just open up that red curtain right there and you'll be on stage. So I slid open the red curtain and the stage is actually over top of the bar. So you're kind of playing up back behind the bar. And when we walked out onto that, and it was like overlooking the entire casino, I could see all the way to the front door. And that was kind of my, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe I'm doing this, you know. That was definitely my biggest pinching moment so far.
That's great. You know,
Ryan.
I don't know if you know
I was just going to say, Cody, can I ask him, can I make a quick statement, please?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say that, you know, it's a good thing that you just stick to the performance, you know, and let you and Jenna and the fans be the real winners. In terms of experience, I do not recommend giving contributions to the casino, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
They probably have enough.
I'm sure of that. Too much. I don't know if you know, but I've got a quick little story for you. And this is sort of my pinch me moment with the show. I've been in the country industry for about 4 years with this radio show. I started the show 6 years ago. I covered another industry from 2012 through part of 2014. When I realized that you know, I've always been a music fan, and music's always been my passion. So. Specifically country music. So I figured I'd try and bring on some of you guys for quick little 30 to 45 minute interviews. But my biggest pinch me moment in the industry was last Saturday. We got to interview CMT's Katie Cook. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's funny, man, you brought that up because I have one question that I made sure I got to ask you before we get off the phone here, and that was my question. I want to ask you how that was because I saw that, and I was like, man, look at him go. That is awesome. That is so cool that he's going to be able to do that. So you got to give me some details, man. Did she just call in, or did you guys do a face-to-face interview? And you got to tell me all about it, man. I want to hear it.
She actually called in, just like you did. But, dude, Katie is literally one of the most genuine people I believe I've ever spoke to.
Yes.
Really?
She is, we spoke for like, for almost an hour, which is crazy. But I was nervous for like the first maybe 5 or 10 minutes of the show. I was nervous simply because it's Katie Cook. But
oh yeah, you have to be nervous.
After that, I was like,
<With her. laughs>
but after that, I was like, it's like I'd known her for 10 years, you know.
Man, it's so cool. It's awesome to get that kind of feeling when you talk to people, you know, with the popularity of her. It really makes you, you know, when you first see them, you're like, wow, I can't believe this is that person. And then, you know, you
right.
talk to them and you're like, man, they're just like me.
Yeah. And I honestly never thought it would happen at the interview. See, I randomly tweeted out my a career bucket list interviewed, bucket list of people to interview, and she saw it and she was like, Murph, let's talk. I'm like, wait, what? You know,
you're like, is this the real Katie Cook?
Yeah, I'm like, what is actually happening here? You know, but that was definitely one of my biggest pinch me moments of the show.
That's got to make you feel good. You know, it makes you feel like you're in the right place. You know, you made the right choices, and every path that you've taken, the doors you've opened them, have got you where you are today. So you know
yeah.
now.
Right, exactly.
Now,
and
I guess my next question for you is who are you going to interview next? That's famous.
Well, you know, hopefully Bobby Bones.
Katie Cook interview. Is going to be a tough one to follow as far as industry industry insiders go, but and I'm putting this out there. If you're listening, Cody Allen, I want you on the show if you're listening, Cody Allen.
Yep, he's next. I was going to ask you if he's going to be the next one.
He's next. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, and this is sort of a new question I've got. I'm always looking for brand new interview questions to ask. So this is sort of kind of a new one for me, but when everything's said and done with your music career, 40 years down the road or whatever, what sort of impact or a legacy do you want to leave in the music industry?
That's a pretty good question, man. I think the biggest thing for me is just relay the message that, you know, life is tough and it's hard, but dreams come true, and there's no reason why you can't go after your dreams. And, you know, I think it's something that a small-town guy like me is chasing every day. I wake up with the mindset that, you know, am I really trying to go after something that seems impossible? And then you kind of think, yeah, I want to do this. I want to show that it's possible. And also along with that, just kind of, you know, just enjoy life. It's tough. It's stressful. And you know what? The sun's always going to come out and shine at the end of a rainy day.
Right. So I've got another little fun question for you. I know you make trips down to Nashville pretty regular, but what's your favorite place to play down in Nashville?
Of all the places I've played, I've got to say I would probably say the Listening Room. That's kind of been one of those things on my bucket list. I know a lot of big name songwriters and a lot of big name artists who have played there. And I got the chance to play there about a month or two ago. And just being on that stage, knowing that so many great people have shared that same stage, was a really cool feeling. And just the whole venue is just really cool with the top deck up there and everything. It's real open. That's probably for sure got to be my favorite place to play.
I love that place. I mean, I only live about maybe 2.5 hours from Nashville. And I've got a family that lives about 20 minutes outside of the city. So basically for me, Nashville's like my second home at this point.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully one day it'll be my first home, you and me both.
I understand that. And that kind of leads me to my next point. In the country music industry itself, I mean, I understand that there's sharks in the industry and people are not in it for necessarily the right reasons. Are there sharks in any business? Mm-hmm. Are there sharks in radio? I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
There's sharks in radio. But I genuinely feel like 85 or 90% of the country industry, and that's fans, artists, hosts like myself, media people, I generally think that there are some genuinely good people in the country industry.
Yeah, man, I have to agree. You're right. I mean, there's everybody in the country music industry, from fans to artists, are, you know, we all live the same sort of similar lifestyles, or we have the same similar stories, and I think that's why we all relate so well. You know, we always got that mindset that, you know, you always give the shirt off your back if somebody's in need. And I think when everybody has that same sort of mindset, it makes it so much better, and it makes everybody seem like they genuinely good people. And it's true. And you know, I ask anybody on the outside, you know, you might not have to be involved in the country music industry or Maybe you've never been to a country concert. Anybody who's listening, I challenge you to go to some kind of a country concert or go spend a day down in Nashville, and I bet you you'll meet some nice people. I mean, you'll be happy that you did.
Yes, believe
it.
Hey, Ryan, this is Craig. Believe it or not, I've been going to Nashville since 2010. That's when I experienced my first country show, which was Nashville Rising, the benefit when the floods came. And there were so many artists on this one stage in one evening at the Bridgestone. Carrie Underwood, Taylor Swift, Miranda Lambert, Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, Miley Cyrus. It was just Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, it was their band. And from then on, I really started to love country music. And from then on, I've been going to Nashville about 3-4 times a year. So trust me, you do see so many very friendly people, as you said, that are very good-hearted and want to help people.
Yep. Everybody cares in the country music industry. That's awesome.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, and speaking for the show in itself, I'm not going to lie to you. When I made the switch from covering soap operas to covering music, I had questions. I mean, I questioned would the show be accepted by the country a community, coming from the Hollywood world I covered for about 2 years. Would it be accepted by the listeners, by the country music media itself? And it didn't take long at all for those questions to be answered. Several media people have taken me under their wing, so to speak, and I've learned so much from them in the past 4 years. It's not even funny.
Yeah, man, it makes you feel good. I mean, it really does. The hearts that everybody in the music industry, the country music industry, have are just huge. Everybody has such a big heart. I mean, if you just look, probably every big name artist has some kind of a charity foundation that they donate to, or that you can donate to, or that they support, which is really cool. I hope to have my own someday too.
You know, and what I love seeing, and I see this all the time on social media, is the established artists reaching out to and supporting the independent artists like yourself. I love seeing that.
It's such a cool feeling, man. It really does, and it inspires me. Even though I'm not obviously on the big stage yet, but when I get there, I can't wait to be who they were to me. You know, it gives you that feeling.
Right.
I'm already inspired, and I can't wait to do that.
I want to switch gears here a second and talk about this new single of yours, Wild and Free. It officially drops tomorrow, but what was kind of the backstory about this song?
Yeah, man. Well, this is this song. I'm super excited. Like I said, it's coming out tomorrow. It's actually a song we've been playing live at our acoustic shows for about a year now. When we went in the studio last May of 2017 to record our EP albums, we ended up doing like 9 songs in 2 or 3 days. So it was kind of really tough and not really quick. But my buddy Matt was in the engineer room. He was doing some listen backs, and his lead guitarist and I went into the recording room, and we're just messing around playing some guitars. And he's like, "Hey, man, check out this riff that me and Matt are writing on." He's like, "We don't have any lyrics for it yet, but we've got a cool kind of riff." And so he's playing it for me. And, you know, my wheels are always turning, and I'm always thinking about different things. And if you put a riff in front of me, I'm going to find some words for it. So my idea mind is running, and I was like, "Hang on, man, play that back one more time. I think I got something." And I end up, this idea, this this image of Wild and Free was coming to my mind just hearing that riff, that intro riff. And I kind of just took off from there, and I ended up writing most of the chorus for it right there. And I look up, and, you know, through the glass window, you can see Matt looking at us, and he's – all you can see is his mouth moving and his head shaking. And it was something like, you guys better not be writing this song. And all of a sudden, he comes busting in. He's like, are you guys writing the song without me? And I said, well, I'm not writing the song, but I have an idea. And so I kind of sung him that chorus, and he's got his clipboard in his hand. And I, after I sung him the chorus, he threw up his clipboard and walked out. And I said, Matt, what's wrong? Come back. And he's like, how can I even write lyrics that's that good? You might as well just write the song now. And I was like, well, we'll write it. So
okay.
About a week later, we went to this little park, and we end up writing the rest of the song.
Oh, man, that's an awesome story.
It was such a fun story, man. It was so cool.
Oh, man, that's – so what's next for you? I mean, I know you mentioned that little EP that you guys recorded, but what's next for you music-wise?
I think the next thing is kind of get back to my original plan is I want to keep releasing singles, but I really want to keep after this full album, and I want to take my time, but I want to make sure I would like to get some music out to country radio. You know, and I think right now I do want to remind everybody that the song comes out tomorrow, Wild and Free. It is a YouTube exclusive only. And I think the reason that we're doing that is kind of because we want to see how many people we can get listener-wise to listen on YouTube only before we get it out to every platform. We want to see where we can take this with just YouTube. But, you know, definitely to get consistently playing shows every weekend and maybe get some opening slots for maybe a couple big tours that's going on or something. You know, a lot of the first openers on these big shows, I went to a Shania Twain concert a couple weeks ago, and a lot of the first openers are guys like me, are just solo acoustic, and they come in, do 30-minute sets, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe to open up for Jake Owen or Eric Church and then just do a solo acoustic act sometime down the road. I think that's kind of my next stepping stone.
Awesome. A couple of years ago, I believe it was, it might have been 2015, I don't know, but I went to a Cole Swindell show at my local civic center, and Adam Sanders opened up for him. Adam was, I'll be honest with you, better than Cole, I'll be completely honest with you.
And, you know, I think the reason behind that is because when guys like me are going out there and it's just us and the guitar and the crowd, that's like the same kind of feeling that we get on my front porch. You know, we take that feeling and it's raw, it's natural, and it's you and the crowd. It's not a full band. It's not all these different other sounds, which they're awesome. You know, all the full band makes a song what it is. But it's just that kind of feeling that it's just you, your guitar, and the crowd. And I think that when people see that, they come back to reality, and you kind of go, man, that guy's just like me. You know, I don't feel like he's such a big name. He's just the guy on stage with a guitar. And people get that feeling and makes them happy and, you know, makes them relate. And, you know, a lot of times that is. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you might have already answered this, but in your live shows, do you prefer acoustic or a full band production?
Well, I think right now I prefer acoustic because that's kind of really all I've ever done. I don't think I've done a complete full band show yet just because of the fact that it's really tough to find a full band, you know, everybody being on the same schedule and everybody with the same kind of mentality and the same motivation as you. So I definitely prefer acoustic. It's kind of been the way that's kind of really all I know right now. So that's what I like. And, you know, like I said, I can relate more to the crowd when I'm acoustic than with a full band. I was going to tell you, my buddy, he's getting ready to cut one of Adam Sanders' songs. Adam Sanders wrote it and recorded it, and he released it a couple years ago on YouTube, and it never really went anywhere, so he let my buddy Jake take it. It's called Dents in the Hood. So be on the lookout for that one. It's a really cool song.
I'll check it out. Did you have anything else for him, Craig? Craig? Hello?
Yeah. No. I didn't have any questions for Ryan.
Awesome, bud. Hey, this has been so much fun, man.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, like I said, I really appreciate you having me out. I know it was kind of last minute, but, you know, things work out for a reason. I think we were meant to get on the phone and chat it out.
Yeah. And some things are just meant to happen at the last minute, and a lot of times last-minute interviews can be the most enjoyable. It's because it's more spontaneous.
Agreed, completely.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Right, agreed. Well, I thank you again for reaching out and taking time to do this today, man.
Yeah, man. It's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun. I almost don't want to get off the phone. I mean, you guys got another hour?
sadly, no. I did want to tell you that we'd be more than happy to play anything else of yours that you put out. We're more than happy to play it for you.
Oh man, that's awesome! I really appreciate that. I'll be sure when I get the next one recorded, you'll be one of the first ones to get it. And just so you know, you are the first one to play that live for anybody. So add that to your top five on your fingers that you can count right there.
Alive and Free happens to be a terrific song, Ryan. I really hope that song gets much more distribution and played on radio stations. I think it is definitely a hit that should be reached the country radio. I'd love to hear it on the horizon on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome,
agree.
Man. That'd be so cool, dude. yeah, it really means a lot to me coming from you guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, buddy. I think I'm going to let you go and let you get back to your evening, but thanks again for doing this, man.
Yeah, man. No problem. Thanks again for having me. And anybody who's listening out there in Nashville, I'll be back down there July 26th, playing at the Tin Roof for the OMG I'm a Songwriter round. So catch me out there. I'll probably be there all day that Thursday, July 26th. And then I might be hanging out some on Friday too. But July 26th, I'll be down in Nashville.
All right, bud.
All right, you got to take care, man.
Okay? All right,
man.
I'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Ryan. Good talking to you.
That was fun. I mean,
definitely is very vivacious. He has a lot of energy. And, you know, his personality matches the song, Alive and Free.
It does. But for a last-minute interview like this, that was so much fun.
Yes. Sometimes the spontaneous interviews can be the most enjoyable.
Exactly. Speaking of interviews, who do we have on the show next week?
Next week we only have one show with July 4th on the way. We have Michelle Pereira from Song Suffragettes. I think she's terrific. I had actually met her before she became a Song Suffragette from Dallas Remington. She has a lot, and I saw her again at the 4th anniversary show of Song Suffragettes. She's fantastic. And so next Tuesday will be a terrific interview.
Did you see her play Song Suffragettes this past week?
I didn't get to see that much of it. I know she was on the show.
She was incredible. I mean, that's the first time I'd ever seen her perform. She was incredible.
She is, trust me, she is very talented. I'd love to see more her become more popular.
Well, I think I'm going to let you go and kind of wrap things up here, bud, but I'll talk to you Tuesday, okay?
Enjoy your weekend, Cody. Talk to you then.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with my buddy Ron Mundy. Like Craig said, we only have one interview next Tuesday, and that is with Michelle Pereira at 4:30 Central. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Bleak Bays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.